Hi everyone, welcome to Clan Queens. We are joined this month by Frontline Defender Regional Protection Coordinator for Central and West Africa, Mariam Sawadogo. If you have tuned into our summer series collaboration with Frontline Defenders, you may remember Mariam from the beginning of our episode with Joseph Rahal from Green Scenery. To put it simply, Mariam kind of blew us away, didn't she, Chloe?
Absolutely.
Kind of incredible. We'd planned to ask her just a few questions and then essentially lost the run of ourselves because we loved speaking to her so much. With that, we decided that our initial introductory conversation with her needed to be its own standalone episode.
We are also delighted to announce that we asked Mariam to join us for our very first IGTV interview alongside Clodagh Daly from Climate Case Ireland, all for the Dublin Arts and Human Rights Festival, which is presented by Frontline Defenders and Smashing Times, alongside a host of worthy sponsors. So this will all be live on our Instagram TV on Saturday, October 24th. So by the time this episode is out, the festival will have happened, but you can catch up on our IGTV video over on our Instagram, as always, at Climate Queens Podcast. And we will also be launching it all on our podcast platforms for you to listen to on the last Friday of November. But for now, we hope you enjoy listening to our conversation with Mariam.
Hello and welcome back to Climate Queens. We are delighted to firstly introduce you all to Mariam Sawadogo. Mariam is the Frontline Defender Regional Protection Coordinator for the continent of Africa. Mariam, welcome to Climate Queens. Hello.
Hello, everyone. Hello, Queens.
Well, thank you.
We'll take Queens. We'll take Queens.
Yeah.
So to kick it off, could you please tell us about your role as the Regional Protection Coordinator? I mean, what does this entail day to day?
Thank you, Chloe. I'm Mariam once again, and I'm the Regional Protection Coordinator for West and Central Africa, working with Frontline Defenders, and the Protection Coordinator, or the PC, how we commonly say within the organization, is the field staff or the bridge between the human rights defenders in the region and Frontline Defenders, the organization. So externally, it's a transversal role. Externally, we serve as the entry point to the organization. This means that we are in a regular contact with the human rights defenders. We contact, or the human rights defenders contact us directly, or sometimes we receive cases from other NGOs locally or internationally, we think that our support could be beneficial to the human rights defenders. We also happen to see ourselves directly whenever we've heard about a case or we saw a case on social media, which we see in the media as well. So the protection coordinator is also the contact person for any collaboration or coordination. Coordinated work with other international NGOs. So we frequently have joint statements, joint activity with other human rights organizations doing the same job and working on the same countries. This is externally. But internally, the protection coordinator is the key person, the other department within the organization will reach out to get information on a specific country. And the PC is also the one who provides regional and country analysis to the organization through the global analysis, which is our annual report that we publish each year. And the protection coordinator also provides the list of human rights defenders that who are in need to be trained, who are in need to receive a grant, or who also are in need to benefit from any of the tools that we develop to ensure the effective protection of human rights defenders. So, and the organization can also rely on the protection coordinator to verify the cases, the grant application, for example. And once we receive a case, through all the channels that I just listed, the protection coordinator should be able to quickly assess the situation and determine the action to take, whether it's an urgent appeal, which is the alert that we send out whenever a human rights defender is at risk, is in jail, is subject to enforced disappearance, etc. So given the type of risk, the PC, as we said, is able to quickly assess what is the best tool to provide the support the human rights defender needs. We also have grants, we also have training programs, but also we do a lot of advocacy work to ensure that human rights defenders, wherever they are, any type of risk they are facing, are effectively protected. So this is basically the role of the protection coordinator within frontline defenders.
You're doing incredible work. Frontline defenders are very lucky to have you. That is amazing. Maram, we just wanted to ask you, considering, you know, we're all connected by this global pandemic, it would be remiss of us not to mention the current COVID-19 pandemic. And we'd love to know just kind of how has your role changed and evolved since COVID-19?
Well, this is a very great question because it's timely, and this is exactly what we are currently doing. As the protection coordinator and since the COVID-19 pandemic, I've been constantly looking for innovative ways to engage with human rights defenders because we are all subject to travel restrictions and many other constraints. And I'm always trying different approaches, using new tools and assessing and providing new types of support. But mainly, I'm always making sure that my intervention is in accordance with the specific needs and new risks that have surfaced since this pandemic, and also the new risks that human rights defenders themselves are now experiencing. So it's an interesting period, and it's also enabled us to try different things with human rights defenders.
Wow. I'm just thinking, Maram, when do you sleep?
Well, I managed to get at least 5-6 hours per day, but
okay, well,
it's fine.
That's amazing. And then we'd love to know, like, what is your background in terms of human rights and the environmental movement? Like, how did you come into this area?
Well, I think that I knew, you know, from very long time back ago, but years back ago, that I'm gonna, you know, end up in the human rights field. And I've been working effectively in the human rights field for 4 years now. I've been working especially on women and girls' rights, migration, civil political rights. And given the current context in West and Central Africa, I'm more and more working on indigenous environmental and land rights across West and Central Africa as well.
Wow, your CV is extensive.
It really is. And it sounds like a lot of the work that you're doing is very much in line with the work that Joseph is doing in Green Scenery.
Exactly.
Yeah, so we're going to be speaking to Joseph now shortly, but we'd love to know how you first met Joseph and heard about Green Scenery.
Well, it took me back to my former role, because before joining Frontline Defenders, I worked with Amnesty International for 3 years, and we were working in the regional office in Dakar, but we were working on Sierra Leone as well, and the team was regularly visiting Sierra Leone, and this is how I've heard through my colleagues Sabrina and also Martha about Joseph and the incredible work he has been doing. And also through local partners organization in Sierra Leone due to his prominent environmental and land rights work. So basically, when you ask someone, you know, in within the civil society organizations in Sierra Leone, who is the person I need to touch regarding environmental and land rights, you know, Joseph's name will come up. So, and his work is incredible, especially the one he has been doing around the Maloa group. And as a frontline defenders, it was just obvious and you know, normal for us to continue supporting him through you know, all the tools that we identify to protect human rights defenders. So we are really happy to work with Joseph and the Green Scenery as well. And to me, the work the Green Scenery is doing is really important because of the fact that many people today are subject to human rights violations without them even knowing or noticing that, especially those living in remote areas or areas where, you know, extractive industries are commonly and widespread. And also because those people don't necessarily have the means, the channels and the audience to speak out to for themselves. So that's why it's really important to have organizations such as Green Scenery and key human rights defenders as Joseph.
Amazing. Yeah, we actually saw some like UN figures that indicated that 80% of the people displaced are by climate change are actually women as well. Just what you mentioned there, could you share like your thoughts and the importance of this education and like access to information and empowering women in fighting this climate crisis?
Well, unfortunately, we are living in Africa, we are living in a society where land rights is a taboo subject. And due to the socially constructed roles and existing inequalities and norms, women are the ones who have the most to lose, unfortunately, during climate crisis, because they work on lands. Usually in the villages, you will see the women, you know, who are the ones, you know, going to the to do the labor, to provide the, you know, the food come from which came from the labor that they are doing. And women are exposed to higher risk of gender-based violence in isolated areas. They have less control and access to land and natural resources, even though they are the one working, you know, mostly on the land than men, because women are often excluded from formal ownership of land in some cultures. And women, for example, in other cultures, they cannot inherit the land from their parents. There's also the lack of access to decision making and representation for environmental and indigenous women human rights defenders. So it's really important to educate women, to empower them about the climate crisis, to create and allow them in spaces where they can express their challenges and needs. But most importantly, we need to promote, you know, an unequal access to the management of natural resources and the preservation of the environment. And through that, we will then ensure active participation of women in environmental decision-making at all levels, because they are the one most impacted by the climate crisis.
I love that.
Mariam, you're incredibly articulate. I want to take that snippet and just play that to everybody I know. That was amazing. What do you think is the biggest challenge facing Sierra Leone over the next 10 years, do you think? I know that's quite a big question, but we'd love to get your thoughts on that.
Well, specifically, I don't know if Joseph will agree with me, but for me, the biggest challenge facing Sierra Leone over the next 10 years will be addressing accountability, ensuring accountability, but also addressing human rights violations committed by extractive industries, land rights, and natural resources management.
Okay, so all the things that Green Community are involved in.
Yes, exactly. But mostly addressing human rights violations.
Well, Mariam, that's all our questions for you. Do you have anything you'd like to add to that about your role or anything you'd like to highlight?
In terms of things to highlight, I think that it's really important for us, you know, to mention that we unfortunately cannot be, you know, everywhere at the same time, even though we would have loved to. So whenever, you know, we are able to have this kind of opportunity, we should definitely use them. And if, please, there are more opportunities like that, whenever, you know, you think that we can have, you know, our voice can make a difference, please do not hesitate to contact us, because this is definitely what we need to do more. Because mainly Western authorities or government, they don't always, you know, realize the impact of human rights violations on really, really poor people, because they are the most vulnerable and they don't have this spotlight, and also they don't have those means, you know, to be as vocal as they should be. So it's really important while engaging, while Western governments are engaging with African governments to ensure that human rights is always put at the core of the activities. Whenever, whatever activities they will be doing in Africa, they should make it as a condition, you know, the respect of human rights. So this is what I wanted to add. Thank you.
Well, great. Well, thank you so much, Mariam.
Thank you all so much for listening. We hope you enjoyed that episode with Mariam. And just when we thought we couldn't love Mariam anymore, we had a sound test call with her a couple of weeks ago, and she introduced us to her pet turtle, Lola. I mean, come on. I kind of lost my mind a little bit, didn't I, Chloe?
Absolutely. We literally could have done a whole episode on Lola the turtle.
but we refrained.
We contained ourselves, but I mean, we really hope you enjoyed our chat with Mariam. And please, please do subscribe to our podcast if you haven't already done so. And if you're feeling in a generous mood, why not leave us a review? A lovely comment goes a long way, and this really helps people find our podcast. So for more updates from us and our honorary Climate Queens, you can follow us at Climate Queens Podcast on Instagram. And we really do love to hear from you all, so please feel free to slide into our DMs. It absolutely makes our day. Until next time, bye!